Time now to bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Nack, Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them on the web, tqag.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But on a Tuesday morning, right here on Robinhood Radio. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
And how are you guys doing this morning?
Well, I'm in Florida.
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's quite the combination.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it?
the Congress and the Senate and Rick DeSantis represented well this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
Well, I guess this begs the question, Tim, what are you doing in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I have actually been on the road for a week. Wow. I started in Atlanta. We had a large estate appraisal that we're working on and working with the family and went through and... we were there. I flew up Wednesday. We were on site Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, just meeting with the family, the client, and going through things. Sunday, we flew up here to Washington, D.C., and yesterday we were in a, you know, the glamorous world of appraisals. We were knee deep in stuff in a storage facility all day yesterday, going through things. But it's another estate. So doing that and going to different houses, and today we will be going to other locations. There's just different things spread out throughout different family members' locations. So we're tracking those things down and inventorying, photographing, and then eventually appraising for estate purposes. So I will fly home, looking forward to flying home tomorrow.
Now, is this your first long road trip since the pandemic?
This long of a week, yes. Okay. I was doing little, like 3 days, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, something like that. But being away for a whole week and in multiple locations, in the midst of everything that's going on that you see on television about the outbreak and the variant, we've really, though, made sure, and I made sure my entire team just said, wear masks if you feel uncomfortable, double mask, or, you know, I have a mask that has a filter in it, so I've been changing those and utilizing those. So we're being very responsible, let's say, but also cautious. When we're outside, that's one thing, but then as we go into larger areas of people, like in the malls or wherever we are. Where we're staying, we're right near a big mall, and it's right near where a lot of people gather. So I just said, well, let's just err on the side of caution. And also in all of the locations for the client, we also all masked up because there were some elderly folks that were there that we were just looking out for. They felt they were fine. We're all vaccinated. I said, yeah, we would just to be on the caution on, you know, just be cautionary. That's all. So we've been doing that, but it's been, this is the longest one. And, and going back to the airports, I was really surprised. All the planes were packed, but everybody around me, we did not encounter any of the unruly passengers that are being reported. So
that's because I wasn't in the air.
That's true.
I was going to bring you up now, Greg. You know, this is the first time for Tim to be gone once again since the pandemic on a long road trip. And for the spouse staying home, it must have brought some form of worry to you as well.
Oh, absolutely. I still haven't traveled, partially because of circumstance, but more direct because of I'm just not quite there yet. I'm just not ready to do it. But I have to say that Tim must have been on the Antiques Roadshow a couple of times this week. I haven't been watching. Because I can always tell when he's been on, because we get phone calls usually either the next day or throughout the next few days. And and I can always tell what he was appraising on the Antiques Roadshow by what the phone call is. And yesterday I had somebody who was asking about called and said they had a collection of tin toys. So they did say that. Well, I saw Mr. Luke on the Antiques Roadshow. So
whenever I hear that, I always think, was my dad on TV? What?
Yeah. I was just going to say that, Mr. Luke.
And I actually got a call yesterday from a client of ours who must have seen Tim on the Antiques Roadshow. We haven't talked to him for a while, and he is between New York and Fort Lauderdale. He's a very, very good client of ours, and he sells mid-century modern, really high-end mid-century modern furniture and decorative arts. And so now from Tim being on the road show this week sometime, I'll have to look up and see which episode it was. We possibly have two appraisal jobs because people are also wanting to have questions about insurance. They have questions about updating their insurance during the pandemic. So it's been busy, but I can't really travel right now also because of my neck. So but sooner or later, I'm hoping everything's going to work out by November, because we're scheduled to go on the riverboat cruise in Europe. So that's provided they allow us back in. So.
All right, we'll follow that. Now, this is a story that popped up. I saw it at the end of last week, and I'm glad I remembered to bring it up to you today. For people that are listening, you remember the world's worst human being, Martin Shkreli, the guy who was taken in by the government. He's a guy that just swindled people by raising prices on drugs. And he had purchased a one-of-a-kind album, Wu-Tang album. Well, guess who wound up with it? The U.S. government. And they auctioned it off.
Of course they did.
Oh, I think we might have heard that. This must have happened maybe a couple weeks ago?
It happened at the end of July, July 27th, 28th, something like that.
Okay.
And they haven't released the price officially, but they say it probably should cover the $7.4 million forfeiture that he owed the U.S. government.
Wow. And, you know, I find that sad that pieces like that end up in fire sales. I don't believe it's going to bring nearly as much as it would have had it not been in a forced liquidation.
Well, he owed the government $7.4 million. So,
yeah, I know. But depending on what the piece of art was, it could have. Some sort of an impact on whoever the artist is, what his works are.
But did you ever think when this world's worst human being purchased that, he had it there for insurance in case he had to do something like this?
And he reportedly paid $2 million for that. Yeah. So he bought that in 2015, I think it was. So, you know, it's I guess, as a backup. And that's what people... When we talk about assets and we talk about items, is that when you need liquidity, this is when you're in debt. That's one of the things. It's our 6 Ds of whether it's auction or appraisal. It's death, debt, divorce, downsizing, damage, all of those things. So he may have, you know, it's just he did have it. So,
all right. And
well, this brings up another point. About that, when you had said you don't know, it seems like you might have purchased it to as like a get out of jail card.
Yeah.
That you remember when we talked about the big art heist?
Yeah.
At Okay, that's what they were doing there a lot. That's why they think that the organized crime got involved, and that's what partially where the art might be. They stole all of the stuff, and they use it to as get out of jail cards, so that the art isn't damaged. So I mean, that's a very likely possibility. I just hope it ends up going somewhere where whoever bought it.
Well, let's go from that to basketball sneakers again, because the very first shoes that Kobe Bryant wore for his NBA game are up for auction. They come with a ticket for the game and the shoes themselves, and the minimum bid was $100,000. They think it's going to sell for anywhere between $500,000 and up. Not too bad.
Well, no. This wasn't the pair that he. It wasn't sold before, was it? Pair of shoes was not. This is not the first time it's been sold, or is this the first time it's been sold?
These are a special pair of signed NBA debut sneakers that hit the market. So this is the first time these are being sold, because he signed them. It's got a ticket of the first game, and he signed the sneakers as well. So it's so funny. You guys talk about how what makes something valuable, and I guess when you have everything set up like Kobe Bryant did, once again, it makes it a lock that those shoes, even if he were to live to be 80 years old, when it comes time for those shoes to be put out to auction, they're just going to get an astronomical price.
Well, that's the beauty of auction, because. You're never really, there are no guarantees, but the one thing that I think you can say with surety is that when you're somebody like Kobe Bryant or a very high-end icon, your memorabilia is kind of like money in the bank. It just depends on when, how long you'll hold on to it, when you sell it, and when you decide to sell it, have you chosen the right time to sell it?
Yeah, well, and these are, what I love is that these are size 14 Adidas kicks, or size 14 Adidas shoes. That's what he wore the first time.
That's twice as big as your feet, Tim. That's twice as big as your foot. You are a seven.
Pretty much, thank you. And it says that this fan had the shoes and then somehow obtained it, because then it says a few years later the fan was able to run into Kobe again and get him to sign it. So, you know, all of those factors is that all plays into it, is that not only is it signed, but it's been with one person and it's the first time being sold and all of that. So, and as we've reported and talked about over the last year or so, is that there's a whole obsession with sneakers at auctions. So it'll be interesting to see what this ends up selling for.
What's interesting?
Has the potential to sell for that much.
Yeah. What's interesting about it is, and Greg, you mentioned this. See, I never feel that if somebody has purchased something and they purchased it because A, they're a fan, and B, they're purchasing it as an investment, I never feel there's a wrong time to sell it. If somebody's going to sell it and it sells for the money they want, and then the other person who purchased it holds on to it and sells it, I don't think it's selling it too soon. I think you're selling it because that's the reason you got it, you know, when you want to need money.
That's very true. That's very true. And the thing is, if you you said something very key there, and that is, if you sell it and you get the price you want for it, it doesn't necessarily mean that it wouldn't have sold for more or would be worth more. But at just like any other transaction, what you've heard us say on the show, the market value, the fair market value, is a willing seller and a willing buyer with no compulsion to have to sell. So if it sold for $100 and you were happy with that, then that's fine. And it could, if it sold for $100,000, the way it, you know, if it was supposed to sell at that level, that's even better. But if you, the seller, are happy with whatever you put it up for and get for it, then it doesn't make any difference what the market says, because that's a fair sale and it's a willing seller and a willing buyer. So
it's always so interesting, as that last comment to you guys, you know, when something like this happens, when basketball sneakers sell for $500,000, and it's kind of like a tsunami. When it first starts out and you hear about a tsunami warning, it starts out in the middle of an ocean. It's not much of a wave at all. But by the time it comes to shore, of course, it's horrible. And it's the same thing, I think, with people that purchase collectible items from celebrities or whoever, that you first hear about it might possibly come out. But then by the time it actually happens, it would say 2 or 3 months, it the story itself generates enough excitement where I think it automatically boosts the price.
It does, and it also it also shakes the trees. A lot of things drop out and say, "Oh wow, we didn't realize that this is selling for so much money." Like, "Oh, I have something that's this." So you start seeing more and more, because whether it is the sneakers or the video cartridges, like the Mario Brothers and all the Pac-Man or the Atari, all those video things that have just been skyrocketing, I think that metaphor is applicable, because it does. And then these prices hit these crazy prices, and then more things start showing up because people said, "Oh, I have that," and it's developing a market. And I think what we're watching and what we've seen over the last year and a half is this development and birth of a market that, yeah, they might have sold and traded maybe secretly or privately. Now it's getting out into the auction, and it's a public thing.
Well, I want you to have a safe trip back, Tim, and Greg.
Thank you.
Hang in there. Maybe practice. Well, you can't even practice your golf because of your neck, right?
No, but you know, the good news is I've had absolutely no pain since the surgery, so I'm hoping that this is going to really, really help
make a difference.
Help my golf game.
All right, well, guys, have a great weekend. I'll speak to you guys next week.
Hey, you too,
buddy.
Have
a great week.
Take care, Marshall.
Take care. Tim and Greg, the appraisal guys, Tim, Luke, Greg Strom, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You can find them again always at tqag.com on the web.